Do you know what it takes to set up a business selling crickets to be ground into flour in the state of Utah? Or one that sells cat litter made from tofu in Hawaii? Yeah, me either. But someone does, and that someone is today's sponsor, Northwest Registered Agent. They can answer all your questions, from what licenses you need to turn bugs into food, or how to set up an LLC for your yarn dyeing business. Whatever weird, wonderful, slightly unhinged thing you're trying to sell, these are your people. Northwest Registered Agent has been helping small business owners and entrepreneurs launch and grow businesses for nearly 30 years. They are the largest registered agent and LLC service in the United States, with over 1,500 corporate guides, real people who know your local laws and can help you and your business every step of the way. Don't pay hundreds or thousands of dollars for what you can get from Northwest for free. Visit northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree and start using free resources to build something amazing. Get more with Northwest Registered Agent at northwestregisteredagent.com/happensfree.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Hey everybody, welcome to another snack size edition of our show, How Success Happens. I'm Dan Bova, writer and editor at entrepreneur.com. If you are a child of the 80s like I am, the phrase, want to play a game, brings about delightful images of global thermal nuclear war. But if you are an entrepreneur or business leader whose worldly knowledge extends beyond Matthew Broderick movies, you may be familiar with the idea of wargaming your business. Now, if you don't know much about it, I highly recommend picking up the book written by this week's guest. Arjun Singh is an expert in helping companies develop strategies through war games, strategic competitive analysis, scenario planning, and building business early warning systems to help them battle through when things go bad. And if you listen to this podcast or are in business, you know inevitably things are going to go bad and you're going to need to fix some problems. And this book is designed to help you fix those problems before they even happen. Arjun is an adjunct professor of marketing and global consulting at Southern Methodist University, Cox School of Business. He advises hundreds of companies. If you can't tell, the guy's really, really smart, and I would definitely recommend picking up this book. So it's called Competitive Success, and it's all about how you build winning strategies by doing corporate war games. He calls it a dress rehearsal for strategies. So, you know, a lot of companies and organizations, they kind of just go for it. And then if it doesn't work out, they sort of learn the hard way that, oh, wait, we didn't really position this right, or we went after the wrong customer, or something about this went totally wrong. It puts them in a tough position. They got to think on their feet. They're pivoting. They're freaking out. All that kind of fun stuff. So this book really talks about the importance of doing dress rehearsals so you can prepare for these things and you can give yourself a competitive edge. And the book actually outlines a step-by-step process for doing all this. So lucky for you, I asked Arjun to share that process and he gave us a sort of quick overview of how it all works. And it's kind of amazing. But first, before we get into the weeds of how it works, I asked him to give us just a kind of overview, a deeper explanation of what wargaming is and how it can help your business.
So wargames are essentially dress rehearsals for organizations. So it's getting a group of people together internally to really role play what your competitive environment looks like. So it could be the competition, it could be the regulatory bodies, it could be indirect competition, suppliers, customers, and others. And it's really around anticipating the behavior of your competitive environment in response to either activities that you're doing or that may change in the business environment. So there's a few different examples that I could give you. I can talk about academia. I teach at university and I've been running student war games for about almost 20 years now. And we do this with students, which is a very similar format to in a corporate environment. We pick and choose different topics for students to work through, and then they represent different companies, and then they build and stress test strategies. So let me give you an example. One of the first student war games I ran was in 2006, in December 2006, and we called it the Battle for the Living Room. And so the question was, who's going to control entertainment in the living room? And we had six different companies in there. We had Microsoft, which used to make the set-top boxes. We had Verizon, which had all the cable, the Fios, the content. We had News Corp as well. And then we threw Apple in there as well. And then the whole thing there was, how are you going to win in the living room? So each of the companies had to build strategies. They came back. They were presented to a panel of judges. They would get feedback on it. It's almost like a Shark Tank type of a thing. And then we'd give them a scenario, you know, respond to a scenario that's happened in a real world. So this game that I've mentioned to you, the reason this one was really interesting was that the Apple team came back and they gave a presentation. They said, look, we've done our analysis. We've got a lot of different assets. We've got the Macs. We've got the MacBooks. We've got the iPods at that point of time. And they said, we have the realization that we have nothing to compete in the living room. And so from a current perspective, we've got nothing. And then what the team did was they had a cardboard box that they had and they picked it up and they said, today we are launching Apple TV. And Apple TV is a streaming box that will connect to your TV. You can get your iTunes on it. It has these kind of characteristics. And this is how we get into the living room. And what was interesting was the strategy itself was very innovative. And so the team actually won that war game with the student competition. And Apple launched Apple TV in March 2007, so 3 months afterwards. So what I'd given the students was a process for wargaming, a toolkit. None of them came from industry, but they went and thought through all these strategic options that the different companies had, and they built strategies for it. And I've seen this time and time again. Over the years, like so many wargames are so predictive of how companies do strategy and what they're likely to do in the future.
Did they try to say, hey, we invented this first, or was that?
They did.
And what was Apple's response?
We never heard from them. That's fairly typical, right?
Yeah, right.
No comments.
Who needs billions of dollars for an invention when you have the satisfaction of knowing that you thought of it first and you got a good grade in your class, right? Right, of course. So anyway, how do you get started with wargaming? Arjun broke it down into three questions to ask yourself and then walk through a 9-step process. So it's worth listening to the whole thing through and picking up his book to even learn more for a reason that I'm going to share with you after he gets through the 9-step process. So I'll see you on the other side.
I actually break it down into three different questions for organizations. It could be, what's your winning aspiration? So what do you want to be when you grow up? You know, what's the definition of winning for you in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, whichever time horizon you want to put to that. So that's the highest level one that you can have. The second one is where to play. So once you figure out what your winning aspiration is, where do you want to play? Which businesses do you want to be in? And then the third one is a tactical, which is more executional, is, okay, now that you've figured out your winning aspiration, you figured out where you want to play, how are you going to win? How are you going to get there? How are you going to be successful in whatever aspirations that you have? I give a 9-step process for wargaming, and it's the competitive success process. And the first step is the objectives that we talked about, which is, okay, what are your objectives? What are we trying to do here? And sometimes, you know, companies do multiple war games. You then look at the battlefield. That's the second step. It's like, okay, who is in your battlefield? Who's your competition? And who are the ones that you're directly competing with? Who are you indirectly competing with? Who are the ones that can really throw a wrench in your strategy and make it difficult for you to execute? And then you get into the third step, which is this competition. And so you really understand the strategies of the key players, the key competitors in more detail. And from that, you then get into the fourth step, which is reflection, which is a step which a lot of organizations don't do. You know, it's really just looking at analyzing previous battles, you know, so in looking at what happened, what were the strategies that we deployed? What did they deploy? What was the outcomes that came out of it? So when you look at some of the famous cases, you know, like Coca-Cola versus Pepsi and Unilever versus Procter & Gamble and others, those are well documented. There's a lot of coverage, press has covered it. But for the average organization, that institutional memory is not captured. It's generally not remembered anywhere. So it's a very important part of gaming to really remember, like, okay, what actually happened there? Then from that, you get into the fifth step, which is preparation. So you prepare a plan to figure out like where your critical intelligence gaps are. What else do you need to know about the competitive environment? And that falls into the domain of competitive intelligence. So how do you get data sets on your competition, your competitive environment, lead indicators beyond what you get on Google? Now, more increasingly, AI has a lot of answers that people are leaning towards. How do you do deeper research and understand some lead indicators that'll tell you about the situation? The sixth step is your toolkits. You assess what your toolkits look like, what I call the strength of your troops. What capabilities do you have? What resources? Are you motivated? Are you not motivated around some of those different aspects? And then you get into the last three, which is scenarios. You figure out what scenarios you want to role play. And there's a whole sort of, there are books written on scenario planning. And my perspective on scenario planning is you can make it as complicated as you want it to be. I give my students a 20-minute exercise in my classes, and they build scenarios in 20 minutes. And I tell them, this is the same process that organizations spend millions of dollars and spend a lot of time on. You guys have done it a lot quicker. And then you get into the battle. So the eighth step after all the preparation is the battle itself. So you go through different rounds of wargaming. And so, you know, you can build your base case strategy. You can get stress test. You can do messaging, positioning. And you align it to what your objectives are. And then you go through rounds of scenario planning as well. And scenario planning is a very effective way of stress testing what your strategic imperative should be and what will work, what might not work. And then ultimately, the ninth step is the playbook. So you build a competitive playbook that's an output of what you've got out of it. And so you've got a playbook for what the future looks like, right? So that's the ninth step process you go through.
Okay, so that's the nine step process. Sounds great, sounds super smart, sounds super clear, but does it work? Arjun gave an example that clearly says, yeah, it really works.
Many years ago, I'd worked on a product launch war game for a pharmaceutical company. And one of the scenarios that we had played out in the war game was, what if the FDA doesn't approve your product? And as you can imagine, when the scenario was brought up, there was silence in the room.
Yeah.
And these are senior executives working on this product that had the promise of being a blockbuster. And the responses we got from people was like, well, you don't know the industry. You don't know what you're talking about. That will never happen. I said, that's precisely the point. It's not about probability. It's about impact. What would be the impact of not getting an approval and that you lose 6 to 12 months of revenue? So they kind of worked through everything. Those outputs were in the playbook. About 3 months later, the FDA did not approve the product. They gave them a complete response letter. So at that point of time, rather than panicking and saying, oh God, now what do we do? The playbook out and said, we have a playbook. We had role played this. We know exactly what to do. And they resubmitted their application. And now the product it's about $5 billion product on market.
Wow. Did anyone give you a big hug?
Hugs and chocolates is generally... it stops there.
Well, Arjun didn't get a hug, but I'm going to give you a hug for listening to this episode and tuning in every week. I know you don't tune in. These episodes get downloaded, but I'm a child from the 80s, and those words will never, ever leave my brain. I encourage you to pick up his great book, Competitive Success. You can buy it anywhere right now. And thanks again for listening and subscribing and checking us out on YouTube, where you can see a lot of the guests that I have on this show. And also, hey, do you like music? Of course you do. You love this theme song that's bumping in the background. That is by Nika RPM, and you could hear more of their hits over there on Bandcamp. And if you want a good giggle, or a bad giggle, or a giggle of indeterminate type, God damn it. It's Friday and I am losing my mind. Check out This Should Be Fun. That's my Substack. I'm going to stop talking. See you next time.